This is a Big MX podcast, brought to you by X Brand Goggles, presented by Tech One Designs, 204 Skate Shop, Westside Honda, Capital Motorsports, Golden Tire, and TransCanada Motorsports out of Brandon, Manitoba. Motocross news from around the world. We're not experts, but we've got microphones. Check us out on the web at BigMXRadio.com.
Welcome to the Big MX Podcast Show, brought to you by X Brand Goggles, 204 Skate Shop, Tech One Designs, Capital Motorsports, Westside Honda of Selkirk, Manitoba, Golden Tire, TransCanada Motorsports, and Roy Borton Racing. I am your host, Brad Gebhardt. With me on the line, local phenom Noah Robinson, number 71 in your program, number one in your hearts. How's it going?
It's going pretty good.
What's new in the world of Noah Robinson? Who are you? Where are you from? And what's going on?
Not much, really. Just training for the 2014 race season. I'm from St. Francis Xavier, Manitoba.
Just west of Winnipeg.
Yeah, just west of Headingley.
Right on. And what are you doing to train for this 2014 season? You've been hitting the gym or what?
I don't go to the gym. It's a little far from my house, but I have equipment at home to train for race season.
Fair enough. Are you doing quite a bit of cardio?
I have a road bike. I ride about 2 or 3 miles every day just to get in shape for long motos.
Excellent. And you're planning, what are your plans for 2014's motocross season here?
My plans for 2014 motocross season is to race the B class, 250B, open B, and when we go down to the Staten race, either race the schoolboy or the junior classes.
Mm-hmm. And you'll be competing on a Yamaha this year, first time on the blue bikes, I believe.
Yeah, first time riding the blue bike. She's a pretty good bike. Rode her once already. I really liked it.
That's a 2014 125?
2013, actually.
It's a 2013. Not too much different, though, is it?
Nope, just the number on the frame is the only difference, but still brand new.
Brand new bike. It looked good out there. I think I saw some pictures from you out at Zota International Raceway this last weekend, down in the southeast corner of the province. How do you like that track?
It's one of my more favorite tracks in Manitoba. It's kind of sandy, which is nice. Lots of long straightaways and sweepers and more technical sections.
Mm-hmm. And you think you ride pretty well there? I know I saw you last year on the Super Minis. Is that a track that kind of plays into your strengths?
Yeah, I really liked it. Last year we went and did the first ever race there and got the first overall there, beating out DJ Burmy in the mud race for the second motos for the overall.
I remember that. That was a pretty ridiculous race, the two of you going at it. And when the rains came, you prevailed on top. Proving that you can ride in just about any conditions. What are some of the highlights that you had in 2013 season? I know it was your last year on the little bikes. Your dad basically tried to max out that the KX100. First of all, what did you have done to the bike to allow you to stay on it for the rest of that season, as you did get pretty big on the bike at the end? How was that season?
Well, I had my suspension done on my one bike, done by Pro Action Suspension, AirG Alberta. Mm-hmm. Really helped. It's the best suspension I've ever had on a bike. Never even touched it once all year. And then we got the motor done by Pro Circuit, which to me, it was one of the fastest Super Minis, I think, in Manitoba. Had lots of balls in it and wheelie like nothing. But we left in end of April, almost exact year ago. We went down to Wisconsin for 2 years to do some Loretta Lynn's area qualifiers. Mm-hmm. I went down to Tigerton, Wisconsin in Little Falls, Minnesota. In Tigerton, I got fifth in Super Mini 1 and sixth in Super Mini 2. So with those finishes, I qualified to go to the regional at the end of June to try and make Loretta's.
And so then the rains came.
Yeah. And I qualified for there, so then when me and my dad talked about it and decided we were going to go and try and make a run for Loretta's, I started training my butt off a lot, probably the hardest I've ever worked. and then we went down to Byron, Illinois at the end of June last year.
Mm-hmm.
And we went down and did the two open practice days. Really hot weather down there. One of the nicest tracks I think I've ever ridden.
Really?
Like, yeah, in the hills. It was a little different with wood chips in it, but it was still a pretty cool track. But then for the first moto, it rained all night, and it was probably the worst mud race I've ever raced in my bike in my life.
That's what your dad was telling me.
Yeah, bike was just caked in mud. I actually slid out going down one of the downhill corners, and the bike was so heavy. The first time I tried picking up, I could barely pick it up, and then I was like, "Oh shit, this bike's really heavy." So I picked it up, and after that, everything was good.
Excellent. No, it's good to hear that you did enjoy some success. A bit of a building year, you'd say?
Yeah, it was pretty good. And went down there and really opened your eyes up to how hard guys are training and how fast guys really are down in the States there. When I was down there, I raced Chase Sexton, which is one of the top super mini riders in North America.
Right. Excellent. It's good to see that someone from Manitoba is reaching out and trying to race elsewhere to gain some more skill and develop as a racer. I think it's a good thing to see that you're going out there and making an effort. Do you think that you'll be able to make Larez this year, or is that a goal of yours as well?
This year was more of a learning year for me.
Mm-hmm.
Just getting on the new bike, I'd like to focus this year on more training, getting to the bike, putting lots of hours on the bike, getting used to it.
Mm-hmm.
But next year I'd like to make a run for Loretta's, start a little soon,
yeah,
get in good shape and try and qualify.
Do you think, obviously you said you've only ridden the your 125 the one time. Does that suggest that you haven't been on a bike since November?
Well, when I rode it for the first time there, it was pretty good. I rode quite well, I thought, for my first time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was pretty good, I'd say.
You don't go down to you don't go to the sandbox, or you don't go down to any of the training facilities down south during the summer, or the winter at all?
I've never been anywhere during the winter. When I used to ride 85s and 65s, I used to go down to Fergus Falls.
Okay.
A lot, and race down there. It was pretty good, but I didn't go this year at all.
So explain your decision to go to the two-stroke 125 for 2014. I know you'll be racing. We don't have a dedicated 125 class locally. I know they have one south of the border. What was your idea going with that machine? I know Yamaha makes one heck of a bike. It's the aluminum frame. They've been developing it and perfecting it over the last number of years. It fairly stays the same, but small improvements. What was your mindset in picking that particular motorcycle, and how did you come to that decision?
Well, I rode a 250 at the end of last year.
Right.
And I rode it, and I felt when I rode it, it made me feel a little bit more lazy because it just had so much torque.
Mm-hmm.
And I found the 125s were nicer because it's still two-stroke. Two-strokes, to me, are the best bikes around. And just the whole, it's lighter. You have to ride, you actually have to, like, work hard when you're riding it, unlike the four strokes.
Right.
Making more of a lazy rider, I find.
Okay, so to basically put your progression on fast forward, you decided to go to the 125 to increase your own aggressiveness on the bike and
yep,
just try and work towards just working on those basics that make you you're gonna make you a faster racer. Even if you do end up on the 250 at some point, I imagine you'll probably be on a four stroke at some point in your career, but it definitely helps to be on the two stroke right off the hop, just to not only inject some continuity into your program, because obviously coming off of a two stroke on 80s, jumping into the big bike, you're moving to an aluminum frame. Of course, the 125 still carbureted, still a two stroke, so you're in some familiar territory.
Yeah, it's pretty, like, really, compared to my Superman, the only difference is the motor's bigger and the chassis bigger, bigger wheels, and a little bit more faster.
A little bit more jam. Actually, only about 25 cc more than what you were dealing with the PC bike. So it's just honestly probably similar in terms of power as far as a stock 125 to your full blown PC 105. Would that be a fair assessment?
Yeah. Well, last year I raced. We were at the Gunsell practicing, and I was on my pro circuit bike, and I was racing one of my friends on a bone stock YZ125.
Mm-hmm.
For the Manitoba guys who's familiar with the Gunsell sweeper after the finish line.
Yeah.
I pulled 3 bike lengths, fourth gear wide open, passing a 125 along the outside on that thing. So
just had it. Had her to the bar. That's that's some bragging rights, my friend. That's cool. Getting back to your one experience on the 250 there was a little bit of controversy, I might say, with your ride that day. Dare you to go into that for me?
I'll talk about it a little bit, I guess.
Yeah.
It was the last race at Pilot Mountain there, and I had my super minis, and I was racing just the super mini class because I didn't have an 85.
Right.
And I wanted to do an extra class, and my dad decided to put me in 2 open C class. I was just going to race my super mini there until a friend of my dad's, we were at his trailer the night before, and he said I could ride his boy's KTM 250.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a little excited to try a new bike, second time ever riding the 250.
Mm-hmm.
I never rode a KTM before.
Yeah.
I went out and practiced and felt good on in practice, decided I'd race it. So I went out for the first moto, and I was about fifth off the start. There was about 39 guys, almost pretty much a full gate. And I ended up pulling out a third place. So I was pretty pumped about that.
Pretty good finish for not having been on the bike too much.
Yeah, it was pretty good, and suspension wasn't really set for my weight, so it was a little stiff, but I got used to it. But then my dad went and checked the board, and it said that I had been moved because should have been in the B class, not the C class.
Mm-hmm.
There's 85 riders going out of 8 super mini class. I was supposed to go straight into B because that's a junior class, and C
right.
is for beginners.
Right, and it's a bit of a gray area, and not to throw the MMA under the bus at all, but there's a, like, if you are to put an 85cc rider directly into the B class, that is technically one step below the A class, which is essentially our pro division.
Yeah.
So maybe in the future, it needs to be a revised rule that effectively now, the C class is pretty much where the B class or the junior class used to be, 2 steps below pro. So maybe the feeder needs to go into the C class rather than the B's. But nevertheless, you were moved out. Your results were scrubbed, and you still had a pretty successful day, if I remember.
Yeah, and then it moved me to last place. So I had third gate pick. I had 39th.
Mm-hmm.
So I picked the very inside line at the Pilot Mountain start there, and
right.
whipped around, waited about a couple seconds while everyone went, and whipped around the outside and started dead last. Ended up coming back and getting 8th, which I was pretty pumped about.
Those are some of the funnest races out there when you come from dead last to a pretty respectable position. I know I've done that on many occasions, as my starts do suffer on a regular happening.
Yeah, those are probably the funnest races I've had, is starting at the back or going down right off the start and then having to come back and work your way through the pack and push your way to the front.
Excellent. Now let's get into our first segment of the day. It's the Tech One Designs Word Association, and this is a portion in the show where I'm going to tell you about looks like about 8 words, and you need to give me either the first word that comes to your mind, or just the first thing that comes pops into your head when I say these words. And this is brought to you by Tech One Designs out of Minden, Nevada. They do everything custom, from coffee mugs to pit shirts and helmet wraps, graphics, you name it. Are you ready there? Are you ready, Noah?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Excellent. Tech One Designs word association test. The first word, freestyle. First thing that comes to your head.
Travis Pastrana.
Okay. Hockey hair.
Hockey here. Probably one of my good friends, Jacob, that lives up the road from me. He's got some pretty legendary hockey hair.
There you go. Zoda International Raceway, otherwise known as ZIR.
Probably a mud race I had there last year. It was probably the most memorable. Comes to head.
Awesome. FXR gear.
Good gear. I've had it all my life since I've been on 50s. Always rode it. So they've always been good to me.
Super minis.
Probably Pro Circuit.
Pro Circuit. Ricky Carmichael.
Greatest of all time.
Race fuel.
Good smell.
Good one. Nicholas Dalrymple.
Really good friend of mine.
Fair enough. And he actually purchased your super minis.
Yeah. Guys that are riding super minis better watch out. There's some pretty fast bikes he's got there.
No kidding. You'd know your man would know the internals of those things. And that is the Tech One Designs word association with Noah Robinson. And I believe our my co-host Chris Mellon is now joining us via Skype. No?
What's up, Noah?
Not much. How about you, Chris?
Good. How's Brad treating you?
He's treating me pretty good.
Pretty good. And welcome to the show, Chris. A little bit late addition to the show. You've come in unannounced, which I love so much. Much like you have walked in on me as I'm in the bathroom on regular occasion.
Let's just call it singing. We'll just call it singing in the bathroom. That's what you're doing,
singing in
right?
The bathroom. You're entirely right. And I believe right before we started this show, you had some comments for Noah, as you happened to be a witness of some shenanigans this weekend out at Zoda International Raceway. So as of right now, the floor is yours, my friend.
So Noah, I see you got a shiny new YZ125. How are you liking that thing?
I'm liking it really good. It's treating me pretty well there last weekend, and I really liked it.
It's even when you kind of knifed the front end in the corner and fell down, or over that little kicker jump thing?
Yeah, that was a pretty good one. I wasn't really ready for that, but yeah.
No, it didn't look like it. Did you know that was me behind you?
I didn't even know that was you till I saw your picture on Instagram, and I was like, holy shit, did you know Chris was there?
No, that was funny. I didn't think it was me. No, I actually waited there so you didn't get run over, because it didn't look like you were getting up too fast and your back was turned, so... You know, I didn't want a little boy to get mowed down first ride or early season, you know?
Totally.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
No, no worries. But no, it looked like you're having fun on that thing. It was good to hear the sound of a revving two-stroke chasing those around. That's kind of what I'm used to, you know? But no, it looked like you're having a blast.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
So, okay, just a question from an old guy to a young guy. Those, like, what do you call those vests that you're wearing?
Bull riding vests. They started as bull riding vests, but now they make their Moto X vests.
Nice. Is that like? Because like, I know nothing about those. But I was just curious. Like, do you feel that a lot? Like,
I don't. I like it. Like, it's a little makes you stand straight, but it's more. It's made of Kevlar, so it's bulletproof. But it's more for like when you get if you get a bar in the chest for internal bleeding.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Does it restrict your movement at all? Everyone who seems to ride one never seems to, like, you guys always seem really upright and rigid on the bike. Does it affect your body movement at all?
The only thing I think, because they're so, like, straight up, it makes you stand up, like, it makes your body stay straight. You can't, like, hunch over at all when you're riding.
Mm-hmm.
You always got to keep that, like, straight up feel on the bike.
Well, yeah, I mean, I can definitely see the protective advantage. Like, my buddy Sean Williamson, he got a handlebar in the stomach and lost a kidney. And, I mean, I'm sure if he thinks back, he would, you know, would have invested in one of those, you know. We brought him a can of kidney beans to the hospital asking if they could just, like, put that in there, but I don't think it works like that.
No, that becomes very difficult. It's almost not even the same thing.
Well, I thought it was close. You know, they're both kidneys, right? They're shaped the same, so
why not? Were they maple kidney beans?
No, they're just yellow brand. That's cheap.
Oh, okay, yeah. See, those don't work.
See, well, now I've learned two things today.
Yeah, fair enough. Right on. So, this is the portion of the show where we're gonna throw in some commercials to pay the bills. So, Noah, how about you throw it to commercial for us?
Okay, here goes commercial for Big MX Radio.
So, do you like stuff, or possibly things? How about a huge selection of motocross and street bike gear from apparel brands like Troy Lee Designs, Alias, Icon, and Power Bands, every single color you can think of? How about 25 years of custom suspension and motor service from a full service shop, all of which you can find at Capital Motorsports? Mention this Big MX podcast to receive a VP gas can with spout for only $40, as well as 100% off your next set of motocross tires. Just kidding, we can't back that up, but ask for about it anyway. Check out Capital Motorsports at 157 St. Anne's Road, Winnipeg, Manitoba, or call them not so toll-free at 204-237-6686. Make your way down to Westside Honda Polaris and check out the brand new Honda Grom, Honda's revolutionary 125cc fuel-injected mini-moto ultimate weapon, a must-see for all motocross enthusiasts. From the Grom to the usual suspects like the CBR 600RR, CRF 450R, Westside Honda Polaris of Selkirk, Manitoba has you covered. Check them out on the web at westsidehonda.ca. Call toll-free at 1-888-482-7782. Boom.
Westside!
And we're back from commercials after all of that long and stressful time that you had to sit and listen through those, because everybody did, of course.
Every single person sat through those commercials. And we're on the air with Noah Robinson. Excellent to have him on today. Noah, we thank you again. We thank you so much for coming on the show. What are you planning on hitting all of the rounds in the MMA circuit?
I've got a couple in mind. I probably go to most of the Grunstalls, and a couple of the Pilot Mountains. Those are my favorite tracks in Manitoba.
Right.
But I'll also like to go down and do a couple DMC races or a couple of District 23s.
Yeah, different soil down there, different competitors to line yourself up against. Do you think you'll find yourself going out to Golden or Northern Lights Raceway to do some practicing throughout the week?
Yeah, I'd probably go out there. Pretty good friends with Joe and Garrett. They always treat us pretty well out there.
Definitely. You know that that track has changed promoters slightly. Alex Zoborowski's now running the place, and I think they're going to have some cool new features. Chris, you might know a little bit more.
Yeah, yes, there's these amazing things called Whoops that seem to have skipped a couple provinces and missed out on us. But yeah, the plan is we're going to have some good whoop sections there, so it'll get you ready for the DMC and District 23 series, where those are still allowed.
Yes.
Right. And the fact that if Noah does end up going to Loretta's, not this year but the year after, I believe they have an obstacle on the track called the Ten Commandments. I'm not even sure if there's 10 rollers in there, but nevertheless, should be good practice out there at Northern Lights Raceway.
Yeah, I watched Loretta's last year for the first time live, and especially with it being in the mud, those Ten Commandments, they sure look pretty gnarly.
No doubt. That's some crazy races. Are you planning on going to either the Walton National, Canadian National, or even the Raymond Amateur National for Canada at all?
I've never been to Walton. I really like to go. My dad's always talking about going there, but I wouldn't mind going to Raymond. I went there once on 50s. Didn't have the best time there. Had a little bit of clutch problems with the KTM 50, but I'd like to go back there and give it another try.
Excellent. No, it's good. It's good to see kids branching outside of the province and doing some racing and trying to find places to sharpen their skills. Do you, you gotta get up, get in your dad's face and tell him to stop being all talk and actually take you to that Walton National on your brand new 2013 YZF or YZ125. You'd mentioned that bike is basically bone stock, other than you did get the suspension done, although I'd argue that's a pretty decent upgrade. Nevertheless, what are the plans for that machine during this season? I believe you have some sponsors that might be able to help you out with some modifications.
Yeah, we have. We are planning on getting. We got a new sponsor for levers. Get some of those. We got some pretty kick-ass footlegs coming. And eventually, I'd like to make. I'm probably gonna make it a 144.
Okay.
Yeah. Millennium.
Yeah. A
couple extra HP underneath the hood.
Yeah. And we're gonna get a pipe. I'm not sure what brand just yet, but. Probably either an FMF or a Pro Circuit.
Mm-hmm. What about engine modifications? I guess you said that you're going with the 144 kit. Who's going to get that done for you?
Done by Millennium Technologies. They make they make a pretty good guy down there by the name of Eric Gore. He wrote a thesis on the two-stroke motor.
Really?
He makes pretty killer 144 mods for YZs.
Dude, that's funny. I haven't heard that name, Eric Gore. He actually used to do mine and my brother's engines for us, like, when you were probably just a little not born yet.
Not even born yet, yeah.
Well, he out of his own house, but now Millennium, he's working at Millennium now, so.
Yeah, that's a name from, like, 96, 97, almost, if not earlier.
Well, and I can see, you know, he knows two strokes inside and out, and I'm sure that market, well, you know, it's still there, but it's definitely not what it was back in the day, what he's used to. So I can see someone, you know, hiring him up, work out of our thing. He made one of the fastest 120, if there's such thing as a fast Honda 125, he made it.
Chris, just to get off topic here, did he work on that bike that's in your garage?
No, that's actually Nick. Old bike, but he did my brother's FMF Honda, and that thing was insane. Like, that I remember racing against, that's when the 426s were around, and you know, obviously, and I raced against him at Millville on that bike, and I wasn't losing terribly up the uphills. Like, this thing ran, if you could keep it in those RPM range, it worked. So I think if you're going to get it done by him, what he made for my brother was definitely a top-end screamer.
Oh, yeah. He makes, what I've heard from people, is he makes really good big boards for pretty much any two-stroke bike.
Well, I mean, again, that was 15 years ago. I'm sure he's learned a thing or two since then as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that guy clearly has the skills to make those 125s go as fast as that they can possibly go, and even if it takes boring it out to a 144.
Oh, hey, okay, just as I remembered this, ask him what pipe you should use. Don't buy anything yet, because I remember, I think, if again, 15 years ago, I think he recommended a Bill's pipe to us, and it literally just finished off the package.
Oh, dude, Bill's pipes on 125, bark.
But see, like, ask him, because I'm sure he's tested that kit with everyone, so you might as well, you know.
Oh, yeah. I'd definitely ask him. He knows pretty much everything.
Yeah, and even if it comes down to silencer length, because that can really affect, like, on a 125, can really affect where that power kind of sits in the RPM range. Yeah, so get on that for sure. I know some guys will even, like, that's one of the biggest modifications they'll make based on track conditions or weather. They'll go with a longer or shorter silencer just to get just to kind of fine tune. Wow.
Yeah, we mess with that a lot. We even ended up putting 250 silencers on our 125s. I even ran a 250. You okay there, bud?
Yeah, I got some chicken fingers going around down the wrong hole.
Well, which hole did you put them in?
The bottom one.
That's the problem. It's not South Park. You don't eat through your butt. But with those 125s, you can pretty much do anything. And Noah, on another level, not on this podcast, bug me. There's a couple little things that I remember from back in the dusty old days to do to those things to really make them work.
Okay, I'll talk to you about that later.
Hell yeah, top secret.
Top secret conversations about how to make 125 scream. for that actually could be a podcast in and of itself. Just get a bunch of people to call in and have their own home remedies to make 125s go fast, because that's been a struggle of many for a long period of time.
Yeah, and fast is definitely in quotation marks.
Yes. Yes, definitely in quotation marks.
So how much do you like bacon, Noah?
I like bacon. Bacon's pretty good.
Bacon's pretty good. What have you changed your diet at all going into the next season?
A little bit, like, you know, eating more healthier than I used to, you know, have lots of fruits and vegetables and some protein bars a day, lots of milk.
What do you normally eat on race day?
On race day, I usually have, like a bowl of cereal or some toast with, some cut-up fruit. And then during the day, you drink lots of water and lots of Powerades. And then for lunch, kind of have, like a sandwich with some kind of, with, a protein bar or something. And usually if you get hungry during the day, which I really don't, because I don't really focus on that, just more focusing on boat racing, you should have either a banana or an apple or something like that.
Fair enough. Chris, you had a couple of questions for Noah. Why don't you ask those while I pull up his fan questions.
And deal with whatever's in your throat, by the way, too. Like, why don't you drink some water, puke, one of the two?
That'd be great. Thanks. Appreciate the concern.
Okay, well, Noah, I've kind of been out of the Manitoba motocross scene for a while. What's your plan? Like, you want to stick around, go pro, or do you plan on making more of a national effort? Because I know it's kind of tough to do. Yeah, you know, it's expensive to do the nationals, and you don't really get anything back from it. So, do you plan on sticking around Manitoba, or maybe going District 23 more?
This year I've planned more of just racing a couple of Grunthals, maybe a couple of Pilot Mountains, dipping down into the States, doing some DMCs, a couple of those District 23 races.
What about say 2 years from now? Like, do you want to continue with that kind of program, or are you gonna, kind of hone your pro skills on the local level a bit? I think is what I'm trying to say, and then make a go of it. Or are you just gonna go balls out and?
Eventually, I'd like to. Once I'm done with this 125, I'll probably move up to a 250, and eventually I'd like to turn pro in Manitoba and race pro for at least 1 or 2 years here. And then, start doing a couple of the Canadian Nationals, just trying to get my feet wet a little bit in there.
Yeah, for sure. Have you spent
much time? Real goals there, Chris. I honestly, that's something I haven't seen from too many 85cc or mini cycle riders in recent history with Manitoba. This kid's got his sights set on the prize and seems pretty driven.
Well, see, I found that him and his dad came and visited me at the shop with the Sponsor Me package a couple months ago. And you can tell that they're in it for the right reasons, and they're making a go of it, treating it as serious as you can at this age and level without, committing your whole life to homeschooling and that route, which I don't agree with, But it seems like got a head on his shoulders. Well, dude, that's the only reason I called. Like, I really didn't have to. I could be eating bacon right now. But
probably are still eating bacon right now.
No, I can smell it. It smells delicious. But it sounds like it's, it's good to see some younger kids that actually get a little bit of the picture already. And I'm only saying that because of age, and nobody can get it all until you're old and washed up and have done it all, right? But no, it seems like he's out there for the right reason. Starting out on a 125 is something that I do agree with too. Being, you're 14, there's only so much you can do in the midi class before it gets boring. Like, I think I did the same thing. Like, at 14, I was kind of done with the little bikes. And have you spent much time on a 250F, or just hop on the 125 two-stroke and kind of take that step instead?
Last year, I rode a friend of mine's RM 250 at the Grunthal Open practice one time for about 5 laps, kind of rode just to see what the 250s were like. And then last race at Pilot Mountain, I raced a friend of mine's KTM 250.
And, dude, that's kind of funny. I was in that race with you. And
yeah, that's so right.
I think you called me a sandbagger on Instagram because I had pro plates on my bike that I haven't raced in 15 years.
Yeah, and that's why you're not sponsored by 204.
Oh no, dude, I thought it was funny. You can't hurt my feelings. I thought it was great. No, but no, like,
you can't hurt feelings that don't exist.
Exactly. But no, I was actually out there in that race with you, as funny as that is. So your first 250 race was my actual first 250F race as well. So we got something in common there.
Yeah, I got something in common there. Nice.
Only about 19 years of age difference, but whatever, right?
Yeah, a little bit of difference there.
But did you like the 250F, or were you always just a fan of the two-stroke? Because obviously, I think you had a KX85, right? So coming off of a two-stroke onto a bigger two-stroke is the kind of obvious step. Do you agree with that, or did you just not really like the power of the four-stroke, or that's just wait for later years?
I just found the 250 had too much like torque, and it kind of felt me feel a little bit lazy out there.
And yeah.
Especially going from that day, going from super minis to 250 is a pretty big step, especially with the bike being a lot heavier too. But I found the 125. I rode it, and I found I'm glad we got a 125. I'd rather ride this and ring it out for a couple years here before I move up to a 250.
For sure. And me, like, being from that generation and now having, you know, a new 250F, I think the 125s will teach the younger kids, like, it taught me momentum. You know, there's still enough power that you can do the jumps that the bigger bikes can if you're a decent rider and you try hard enough. But you really rail those outside lines riding against 250Fs and, say, more point-and-shoot torquey bikes. So I think this is really going to be a benefit in the future that, you know, you're not going to really be able to figure out what the other way would have been. But you're going to, like, momentum is key on a 250F when you get to that higher level as well. And I think you're going to learn that more on the 125 than you would have on hopping right onto the torquey or four stroke. So I definitely think this is a good move, and keep it up and try to keep that momentum and scream that little bike out, because that's what it's made for.
Oh yeah.
Well, it's a lot easier to override a 125 than a 250.
Oh yeah, locked.
Well, and another the progression of moving up, it finds, like, when you can have that super mini and you're almost like mad at it for not having enough power. You know what I mean? Like, you get to that feeling where you're like, this thing just doesn't have enough for me anymore. Like, that's the time to move up. And I think on a 125, that might happen this year, maybe next. Whereas on a 250F, it takes a long time to really ride those things to their full. But exactly. So I think this is a good way to do it. Make those kind of smaller steps and max out that bike and, you know, tell it your bitch and then make the next step up.
Yeah, make that half step between, so that your body has the time to adjust to the bigger machine. You have a full year under your belt of learning how the bigger machine works underneath you, and then but also it just doesn't have as much motor as a 250F. It's also very different power. The torques, like you said, is different. So, like, yeah, like I said, making that almost it's like a half step between to bridge the gap to be more successful on the 250. So, Noah. You started a very young age. Your old man, Kelly Robinson, he's started out in the motocross industry at Headingley Sport Shop. And from birth, you were running around the pits.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about how your dad introduced you to motocross, and what was your first bike?
Well, my dad started working at Headingley there when I was about 3 years old. Mm-hmm. So I started, you know, showing up to going to the Odd Racer 2 with him when I was about 3, and I really liked it. And then he gave me the choice when I was 4 years old if I'd rather race motocross or play hockey. Mm-hmm. So obviously I picked to race motocross. So great. When I was 4 years old, Dad got me a 1986 PW50.
Yeah.
So I started riding that around behind my house in Birds Hill when I was 4. And then my first race
was a 2006 PW50?
No, 1986
PW. 86? Oh, wow.
So that would have been a yellow one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was yellow, but Dad spray painted it green and black to look like the Kawasaki.
Of course.
Yeah, to, you know. But my first race, it's a little embarrassing looking back at it now, but first race was at Morden Shadow Valley Raceway. You know, the start there, straight down, and I was sitting there with my goggles on, and my dad, he said, he looked down at me, and he said, my goggles were all fogged up, and he said I was crying, and he said, I was too scared to go because I guess the starting line scared me downhill right off the start. So he pulled me off there. I didn't race there, but next weekend was at Killarney, and I raced there, and that was my first race, and ever since then, I've been hooked.
Excellent. So, and you raced 50s, and the first year, not so successful, but you had some success in your second year, finishing second place.
Actually, after I was done on that PW, mm-hmm. I went on to race the XR50.
Nice.
For 1 year, and then after that, Dad got me a KTM 50. Then once I got that, I started doing better, and my final year on 50s, I got second overall in points to DJ Burmese.
Okay, so yeah, the two of you have been fast all along.
Yeah, me and DJ have been racing each other since we were little.
Well, do you still ride against Burmy? Because it was, okay, like, again, I don't know these kids, but I think he's on 125 this year too, isn't he?
Yeah, he has a YZ 125, and I'm pretty sure he just got a KTM 150. So I'm pretty sure we'll meet up a couple times this year against each other.
Definitely.
Right, he's on the KTM this year. What do you think about that move?
It's a nice bike. Dad actually looked at getting me a KTM just because they're a little bit more developed than the YZs are, like motor-wise and like the looks. And the 150, like they say, it's a really good bike, but the Yamahas, I don't know. I like it. KTMs, but the parts are so expensive and there's nowhere close to home here to get parts.
Yeah, yeah, and anyone you could ask, a KTM feels a little different coming off of a Japanese bike. So I think Yamaha is probably your better pick.
I'm glad we got the YZ 125. It's better, I think, than that KTM would have been.
Excellent. So how old were you when you moved on to 60s and eventually to 85s?
I moved on to 60s when I was 9. Yeah, I moved on to 60s. I got a brand new KX65 from Headingley. And then I rode that till I was, I think I got that when I was 8 because I rode it with the 1 year I was on 50 still. Then I got my 85 when I was 11. And then I had that till last year until we sold it.
Fair enough. So you've had varied amounts of success, but you've been able to acquire some sponsors over your years on the little bikes. When did FXR pick you up as an official sponsor of your racing series?
I started getting sponsored by FXR my last year on 50s. And they sponsored me with just giving me some gear. And then ever since then, I've gotten through 65 and on 85s, and then I got some last year too, and just waiting to get some more in here for this year.
Wow, so you're almost on 8 years of support from FXR.
Yeah, they've been good to us.
Excellent, excellent. So, all right, we're going to move into your fan-based questions. Surveyed a few fans of the show who might want to ask you some questions, and these questions brought to you by Capital Motorsports. Capital Motorsports out of Winnipeg, Manitoba. You can call them. they're just located on St. Anne's Road, not too far from Furmore, here in Winnipeg, Manitoba. These questions brought to you by Capital Motorsports, and we'll start off right off the hop with Casey Peters' question. What is your favorite local track?
Favorite local track would probably be either Grunthal or Zoda.
Is it the jumps of Grunthal and the soil from Zoda, I'm guessing?
Yeah, I like the soil at Zoda, definitely. Sand's always been good to me. Grunthal, I broke my...
Whoa. It didn't look like it was treating you too well for that half a lap I was behind you there. So sometimes the sand is good to you.
Sometimes the sand's good to me, except for then. But yeah, Grunthal has been good to me, except for one time I busted my leg off the double after the finish line. I kind of swapped out over it. But besides that, I've always liked the track. The soil's always good. It's got some nice jumps, some nice straightaways.
Right on. So the second question that was canvassed today is from Elmer Abrams. Elmer asks, whose style do you emulate, whether it be a local pro or an AMA Supercross pro?
I've never really looked at someone and been like, oh, I wish I could ride like, I want to ride like James Stewart, Ricky Carmichael. But like, if I had to pick one rider, I'd probably say Justin Barcia. I really like his riding style, just the way he rides the bike and his aggression.
Fair enough.
He's got a good number.
Yeah.
Yeah, same number, I guess.
Weird. It's weird how those coincidences work out.
Every once in a while. And now, and Lee Stewart, one of the guys that we've done a podcast to, we asked him if you could ask Noah Robinson a question, what would you ask? And he asks, do you think that motocross will earn you a girlfriend at some point?
Ooh, yes.
I hope so. I think it would.
We'd like to think so, at least. As racers, we'd hope that racing brings a certain bit of cachet to our lifestyle and wanting girls to want to be around us. But do you honestly think that that's going to be the deal breaker?
Yeah, sure. It's okay with me.
Okay, well, I remember being 14 and at the races. Is there anyone's sister that you might find cute right now that you want to just throw out there and maybe, you know?
Yeah.
Just giving you the option.
I'm not really sure. There's no
deal. How red is your face right now?
Yeah.
It's not that red.
Okay, just kidding. But there's no one you want to give a little shout to that you've been looking at for the past couple years?
No, not really.
We're not going to tell Hannah Dalrymple if you say it.
Nah, she's a little old.
Wow.
Just a little tip. Never say that about your dad will tell you the same. You never say that no matter what the situation or how young you are.
Yeah, bro tips on BMX Radio. Do not call girls old, ever. And all right, so last question from Alex Zaborowski. What's something that your dad harps on you all the time about while you're practicing? Stay up in the corners?
I lean too far forward on the bike, especially in the sand, but I don't know if sand's always been good to me, but he says I ride too far forward.
Okay. Is there anything that he kind of instills in you before you head off onto the track, or is like, how does he pump you up for the race day?
He always tells me, ride your own race. Don't focus on anyone else. Just focus on yourself and the track and the bike.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like something my old man would have said as well. Excellent. Well, thanks so much for coming on the show. We've kept you for about an hour and a half. We said we'd keep you for about an hour, so we appreciate you coming on the show with us and answering some questions and cluing in our fans on what's happening with Noah Robinson in 2014. First of all, who's helping you out for 2014 altogether and your sponsors? I'll have you list them off again. And also, if anyone would like to get in touch with you to sponsor your effort in 2014 and beyond, how can they do so? So starting off with your sponsors.
My sponsors for the 2014 season are Millennium Technologies, Triton Trailers, Fast Enterprise, Rock River Yamaha, 204 Skate Shop, Wiseco Canada, Not AutoCorp, X Brand Goggles, FXR, Streamline Brakes and Controls, Capital Motorsports, RPM Graphics, and Grandma Z.
Excellent. And if anyone listening to this thinks that they're hearing a nice, well-spoken young man who they'd like to sponsor his racing effort, how would they do so?
They could either text me or email me.
And how would they do that?
My cell number is 204
yeah.
479-0935.
0935.
Yep. And my email address is nitro51@hotmail.ca.
Hotmail.ca. Perfect. Well, thanks so much once again for coming on the Big MX show. We appreciate your time, and we'll have this up in the next hour or so.
Yeah, so just one thing. Noah, are those numbers and email, are those out there for single ladies as well?
Yeah, they're fine for single ladies.
So just making sure.
Yeah, no age limit on that too, right, buddy?
Yeah, no age limit.
Yeah, perfect. That's what we like to hear. Right on, man. Thanks again.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you for listening to the Big MX Podcast, brought to you by X Brand Goggles. Be sure to check out our archive for episodes you may have missed. Check out our website at bigmxradio.com for more content.